Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. St. Genevieve hopes to be celebrating soon as part of the National Park System. That's a lot of support for making that happen. Joining me now to talk about the prospects and the process are Sandra Cabot, the Director of Tourism and Economic Development in St. Genevieve. She joins us by phone. Tim Good is the Superintendent at the National Park Service's Ulysses S. Grant National Historic Site. Thank you both so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Well, thanks for having us here, Don.
Sandra, I'd like to start with you and just ask you very generally, what would it mean to St. Genevieve to become a part of the National Park Service system?
Well, Don, from St. Genevieve's perspective, this has been a dream a long time in the making. It's something that we have been looking forward to. Very dedicated individuals have been working on this for probably 10 years now, and so we couldn't be more pleased. And in terms of the meaning, it will mean, obviously, increased foot traffic and exposure for St. Genevieve, but the real true meaning for us is additional awareness of the unique architectural gems and cultural treasures that are here in St. Genevieve as this first point of settlement.
Does it mean any additional dollars for you for helping to preserve some of these properties?
Well, we don't know specifically that there would be dedicated funds, but we do know that the additional foot traffic and additional resources would be very important for us.
Tim, I know you are heavily involved in all of this and have been for a long time. Why 10 years?
Well, that's an excellent question, Don. The type of study that the Park Service underwent for St. Genevieve is one of our most detailed types of studies. It's called a special resource study, and the Park Service cannot initiate this on its own. It's required to be passed through Congress. And after the passage of Congress, we had to wait for funding to become available and then begin the process. And St. Genevieve, when you look at the study, it's not one historic site, but it's multiple historic sites over a long period of time. And so this required a great deal of research, discussion with academic historians and other people in St. Genevieve to come up with a study that was well-researched, well-thought-out, and approved by the academic historians.
We'll get into that in more detail. But for folks who, and I can't believe anybody in St. Louis or within the range of my voice hasn't been to St. Genevieve, because it's very close, just 60 or so miles from St. Louis. But Sandra, I'll turn to you. Do a commercial for St. Genevieve. Tell us a little bit about that community, what it's like, and what people who haven't been there could expect to find.
Well, what a wonderful opportunity, Don. So, as you said, we are about an hour south of St. Louis in, contemporary times. On the historic scale, St. Genevieve was the first point of French settlement on the west side of the Mississippi River, dating back to the 1700s. Some of the homes that are still standing and are part of these historic sites that are interpreted and available to tour are still standing on the original site that they were built on in the late 1700s and early 1800s. Many of these sites are pre-Lewis and Clark. Some are post-Lewis and Clark. And there are not very many places in the country where you can see architecture of that significance, original cultural aspects of the French settlement here in the mid-Mississippi Valley. And, of course, all of this history ties directly into St. Louis's French history, as well as points in Illinois, St. Charles and Cahokia, and Cahokia and the Fort de Chartres, not St. Charles, but St. Charles has a French history as
sure.
Well. And so all of this region ties together, but the St. Genevieve is the one place where you can see original architecture on its original foundations and in the same setting, you look out over across the agricultural fields and you see very similar view to what the French settlers would have seen.
Of course, they had, as I understand that they had the potential for a couple of views because at one point the city was actually moved, wasn't it?
Yes, that is correct. The original settlement was right on the banks of the river, and they were very prone to flooding. So in about 1785, they moved from the original settlement to what they call the Petite Cote, the Little Hills. And so that's where St. Genevieve has been ever since the late 1700s.
Tim, are these homes that we're talking about, the properties that we're talking about, are they privately owned or are they owned by some other organization or what have you?
Again, excellent question, Don. Most of the sites are privately owned. Now, the ones that the Park Service specifically focused upon, two of those are owned by the state of Missouri, and one of them is privately owned. But under those type of ownership, you could have a situation, which has happened in the past, where the state would donate the property to the National Park Service. And in terms of the private property owner, there would be a variety of different options, which I've seen throughout my career. And one would be where the property owner retains ownership, but it still exists within the park boundary. So he can still claim that he's in the national park, but he owns and operates the building himself.
What precisely does it mean, becoming part of the system? I mean, you talk about the system owning or operating, what have you, some of these properties. Is it like an umbrella? The park system has all of St. Genevieve, or just individual parcels or individual places?
Oh, again, very good question. There's 410 sites in the national park system today, and Obama just recently added one to it last month. So we increased from 409 to 410. And when you look at all these different sites, you're going to find some very unique attributes that relate to all of them. So in respect to particular sites within a park boundary, it doesn't necessarily mean the Park Service will have to own and operate it, but it still allows the Park Service to work with the property owner to help preserve and interpret the site.
All right. And let's talk a little bit about some of these properties. One of the things that I read, and I'm not sure I fully understand, I should, but I don't, and that is the vertical log construction of these properties, which is quite unusual, as I understand it.
Absolutely. And that was one of the particular facets of St. Genevieve that the National Park Service was especially impressed with. There are only five buildings in the United States that we know of that have this vertical log construction where it's a post in the ground, and three of those are in St. Genevieve. I mean, it's just remarkable that this place still has these buildings and they're still preserved. The rest of them, which dozens of which, are vertical log as well, but they are post on a sill. But, you know, Don, this point I found particularly fascinating. They do not know to this day how many vertical log buildings there are in St. Genevieve, because so many of them are preserved or encased behind plaster or brick. And sometimes for the owners, it's only when they decide to do some remodeling, they pull off the plaster, and suddenly they see vertical log and realize they have an immensely significant historic building that relates to American history.
What attributes do vertical log buildings have that others of more traditional construction don't have?
Well, and this is the aspect of French history that makes St. Genevieve so unique. Typically, the American-German perspective would be to construct it with horizontal logs. The French custom, which dates all the way back to Normandy, to medieval times, with this vertical log construction. And when you have a place like this and multiple buildings like this, this gives you a wonderful opportunity to look at the actual buildings and talk about the French exploration and the settlement in the Mississippi region, which was so crucial to facilitating the immigration that would occur afterwards.
Sandra, what access does the public have to these particular buildings?
So these buildings that would be considered part of, you know, the area that we would be celebrating through the National Park site, several of them are open for tour on a seasonal basis right now. As Tim mentioned, the Felix Valley State Historic Site is open year-round, and so they have staff on property, and they are open year-round. Some of the others are open seasonally because they haven't been converted over for central heat and air. And so we have, for instance, the Bolduc House Museum. This is owned by the National Society of Colonial Dames in America and the Missouri chapter. They own the Bolduc House, which was built by Louis Bolduc in 1792. And they also own the Jean-Baptiste Vallée House, which is known locally as the Last Commandant's House, because we have a French and a Spanish commandant back in the 1700s. And so the other one that is open seasonally is known locally as the Jacques Guibord House. This was built by an aristocrat from France who came over to St. Genevieve after a slave uprising on some family property in the Caribbean, came to St. Genevieve and built the Jacques Ibord House, which is absolutely beautiful. And finally, the last one, which has been recently restored and is just beginning to be open to the public again on the regular basis, is the Beckett Rabot House, and I know we'll be talking about that mm-hmm. later in the program.
Right. Just a few seconds left before we have to take a break. Tim, let me come back to you. This is very unusual for the Park Service to be coming involved in a French colonial project as opposed to American project.
Well, Don, you know your history very well, and that was one of the aspects that the Park Service uses to evaluate new sites. Is this unique to the system? And in the process of doing so, trying to find a French colonial village, which we do not currently have in the system, would make St. Genevieve a unique addition to the system.
All right. Well, let's take that break now, and when we come back, we'll be joined by Hank Johnson, a man with a big commitment to St. Genevieve. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. And welcome back as we continue our conversation with Sandra Cabot, the Director of Tourism and Economic Development in St. Genevieve, and with Tim Good, Superintendent of the Ulysses S. Grant National Historic Site. We're talking about St. Genevieve and the prospects of its becoming a part of the National Park Service system. Joining us now is Hank Johnson of St. Genevieve. He's the owner of the Beckett Rabot House and of the Chaumette Vineyards and Winery in St. Genevieve. Hank, nice to have you with us.
Thank you very much.
Well, I said in the before we went to the break that you've made a pretty big commitment to St. Genevieve. Tell us about that commitment and how that all got going.
Well, we have been bitten by the historic restoration bug. We have taken on the Beckett Rabot House restoration, and we started that in the December of 2013. We finished the museum part, the original house, about a year ago, and we have built also a welcome center or a hospitality center that's part of Chaumette, and so we have a tasting bar there, and that's where we really tell the story, the history of the Beckett Rabot House. We have a timeline there that tells about the owners and tells a very, very interesting story. And so we like to start people there in the Welcome Center, tell them the story in some detail, and then go over to the museum, to the house itself. And there you'll be greeted by a person who will introduce herself as Clarice, who is a principal person in the story of the history of this house. And it'll be about 1840, and she will show you around her house and explain how she fixes dinner for her family and where everybody sits and what she grew in her garden that she served them for dinner last night, and just how their daily life is, what they do on weekends, what they do after church, who their friends are, and how they spend their time. So it's been a fun story to learn about, and we are certainly committed to this endeavor. We're in the process of completing a restoration on another outbuilding at the property, the barn, which we will have a fast casual restaurant in, and it will be a place where from time to time we'll have some entertainment. So people can come, have a glass of wine or a bottle of wine, and sit out and spend an afternoon there.
We'll talk a little bit more about the history of the house, but I want to go back to Sandra now because, Sandra, I know you're very, very happy with the kind of support that you've had for this whole project with regard to the National Park Service. But really, Hank is the kind of support you really want and really appreciate it, isn't it?
Absolutely. And Hank's involvement in really back even when he first founded Chaumette Winery and he chose to honor the French colonial architectural style and the hipped roof, which all of the visitors to the winery can see when they go there. And then when they made the decision to take on the significant challenges that were present in restoring the Beckett-Rabot property, and you can tell from his descriptions how much he really is personally invested in telling the story of that place. And that's something that St. Genevieve in general, all of our interpretation is really about the story of the people and the story of the place and what was unique about this site in the mid-Mississippi River Valley and the French history here and what was going on, you know, throughout the region, and the impact of the people's lives here in this area. I just think it's a very unique story. You can tell from Hank's description, and we certainly appreciate his support. We had, when the report came out in August, there was a preliminary local meeting, which was very well attended. Hank was present at that meeting. Tim was present at that meeting. And we really had an outstanding outpouring of letters of support during the fall. We had over 75 letters that were submitted in support of the findings of the report. Then in January, there was another meeting at the Missouri History Museum in St. Louis, and members from St. Genevieve, but so many fans of St. Genevieve's historic site from St. Louis were there at that meeting at the History Museum in January, and it really just shows that there's a lot of support and a lot of interest in this across the region.
Tim Good, was there any opposition to this whole prospect?
Well, very good observation. I've been in the National Park Service for 26 years now. I've attended quite a few public meetings of this type. I have never attended one where the opinions were so united as they were in St. Genevieve. It was rather remarkable in that aspect.
Yeah, Hank, let me come back to you with regard to your project there. One of the things that fascinated me in reading about it was the fact that this building, this home, was purchased by former slaves back in the middle of the 19th century. It seemed to me that that was probably a very unusual circumstance.
Oh, can you imagine? I should say this is a wonderful part of the story. The building was built actually in 1809, and we know that date because the University of Missouri came and did dendrochronology studies on the logs and was determined that they were harvested at that time. But in 1840, this person Clarice, who I mentioned a minute ago, a woman of color, was able to buy this house. And this is 21 years before the Civil War. And she was a landholder was about 4 acres and a nice house and 4 outbuildings. I mean, that in itself is an extraordinary part of the story. The rest is that she lived there until she died, and her grandchildren lived there until 1969. So the history is fascinating. Looks like there are some people that were in the process of tracking down or trying to find some of the Rebo relatives and to invite them to come back and see the house and see what condition it's in now. A house probably where their great-grandparents lived.
Well, again, if my figure is correct, I think that house was purchased in 1840 for like $400.
Yeah. Well, you know, $400 was a lot of money then.
Still is.
Well, yeah, I don't know exactly how much, but in another part of the story, there's a person that left a $25,000 estate, and someone calculated that, one of the visitors, that was over $700,000 in today's dollars. So there's a perspective on the $400.
Hank, time is beginning to wind down a little bit, but what would it mean to you and to your home there if, in fact, the designation is made by the National Park Service?
Well, in the report that came out from the National Park Service, it said that other historically themed national parks that are about the same distance from metropolitan areas as we are, experience between 44,000 and 68,000 visitors every year. Well, that would be a game changer for St. Genevieve if we had another well, say 50,000 people that came to St. Genevieve every year, would be a tremendous economic boom and a great opportunity for us to tell the story of the history of St. Genevieve.
Well, that Sandra, I know you're very happy with that. Is there a possibility of being overrun by people?
Well, we certainly don't think that there would be a situation where you would feel overrun when you're in St. Genevieve. It's very, really, the area in question is very spread out, so there's, you know, a lot of room to observe these different sites. As Tim Good pointed out earlier, you have several different homes that are part of this area as well as the agricultural area. So it's sufficiently spread out that I don't think you'd ever feel crowded here.
Right. Tim, you don't know the answer to this question, but perhaps you can give us some insight. When would you anticipate that the National Park Service would be making this final decision after all these years?
Yeah, it's possible the report would be released sometime this spring, and that would be issued by the Secretary of Interior, and then it's sent to the United States Congress, and then it would be up to the United States Congress to determine whether they wish to act on the report, part of the report, or otherwise to add it to the national park system.
I always shudder when I think of something having to go through the United States Congress these days. Not an awful lot gets accomplished there on some things. Hopefully this will be different. I want to thank you all so much for being with us. Tim Good, thank you. And I know the work that you did on helping with the application is greatly appreciated in St. Genevieve. Sandra, thank you so much for being with us. That's Sandra Cabot from St. Genevieve. And Hank Johnson, thank you for spending a little time with us.
Thank you very much.
Great to talk to
thank
all
you,
of you.
Don.
Coming up, the National Park Service from a different perspective. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.
Ba-dum, ba-dum. Des vêtus en voilà par un paquet Et tout ça pour tomber juste au coin de la rue Sur l'air qui m'a reconnu Écoutez le chahut qu'il m'a fait Comme si tout mon passé défilait J'en ai tout un seul fer sur cette terre qui bat comme un cœur.